Is this 33 or 34? 34?
34.
Coming up on this edition of Xbox. What the hell was that?
Just like last week. Stumbling around with a cock in his mouth.
Holy crap. Okay. On Off the Cuff episode 34, we've got a little bit of Arkham Origins. Well, probably a lot of Arkham Origins. Joe catches us up with Grand Theft Auto 5 and Super Mario Land 3D. And we've got a little bit of news. And that's about it. So, joining me this week, as usual, is Art Danner.
Hi.
We have Joe Reed.
Hello.
And I have purchased an inflatable blow-up doll that we can put a headset on for Shaunzi.
Hi! Hey. Squeak, squeak.
I believe Danner can render all of Shaunzi's opinions this week.
I think that's incredibly possible. I will do my best.
Okay. As long as he does it with his arm shoved up that doll to his elbow and he talks with it like a puppet, I'll be happy.
You know, guys, what I really like Saints Row 4. It is so good. It's not at all reskinned. It's nothing like Saints Row 3, even though the world's exactly the same. Yeah, it's better than everything you guys are playing right now. Mm.
That was pretty good. I almost feel like he's in the room with me.
I know. Which would be weird, because that would be the first time ever.
Yes. That would be weird. That would be very, very weird. Anyways. Joe.
Yeah.
How's Grand Theft Auto 5 going?
Still enjoying it. I'm coming down to the end of the story, which I'm excited to finish and slightly resentful of recording a podcast. But no, I'd rather hang out with you guys. I can't wait till you're done with Batman so we can play the online some more. I tried going on single player, and it's just not worth it. There's nothing to do yet. Although they did announce the first DLC. I don't know if you guys heard that and saw that and missed it. Art, you probably don't care.
Correct. You nailed it. but guys, I totally care.
Yeah, I'm not listening to you. You need to buy that game. But no, he's late now.
Shaunzi was chiming in with his opinions.
I was going to say, I already own the game, guys. Yeah, I play with you guys, but you're playing on the PS3 and I'm playing on the Xbox 360 because nobody plays 360 anymore. I'm so alone. Where's that box of razor blades?
He's been so quiet on the chat, I was afraid he got into those boxes, but, you know, whatever. I'm sorry.
I have a life outside of the podcast, guys.
No, you don't.
I masturbate furiously as much as often as possible with KY jelly.
Remind me never to come over to your house and use your controllers.
Hey,
my
Xbox 360 controllers are pristine. I keep them in bubble wrap when I'm not using them. It's all I have, Joe. It's all I have.
It's so much more fun when he's not here to defend himself.
Sean, you are so depressing. I mean, I know. It's real bad, guys. I'm sorry. I know, Sean. It's okay. Don't worry about it, man. It's just find that inner strength that I know you swallowed a long time ago. I did swallow it a long time ago. It was easy to choke down, though, because I wrapped it in bacon.
Oh, God.
You keep fighting the good fight, Sean. It'll be okay. One of these days, it'll get better. I hope it's soon, because my waistline can't take much more of this.
Oh, man.
Just remember, just because you got a hole inside of you doesn't mean you need to fill it with donut holes. Just keep that in mind, man. Be strong. Okay, Art. I'll do my best. I've always looked up to you. You are the best. I know it, man. Don't you don't gotta tell me about it. It's okay, mine.
Whoa. Hello? Did he mute himself?
Me?
No. Did Danner mute himself?
I think Sean muted himself. I don't know what's going on there. That dude's kind of... He walked away. He's okay. He's collecting his thoughts.
Okay. Okay. Huh.
I know, right?
So, Joe.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5 DLC.
The, oh man, we're getting the level editor, which I think just edits some deathmatches and races, which neither event I'm very interested in anymore at all. I don't think I've ever even done a deathmatch, but yeah, maybe you and I will edit some races and fiddle around with cars that we don't usually get to play with. But outside of that, I'm still waiting for heists to be a major part of the multiplayer experience, where you have to plan them, collect the cars, and then do them like you do in the story mode. That's kind of what I'm waiting for. But until then, hey, it's a free DLC with a bunch of beach-related cars. What else? Some new weapons that also carry over into single player, which is kind of nice. But all free. I think they call it the Beach Bum Pack. I don't remember now, but it's exciting. I think dropping in early November. I still want my stimulus package, too. That hasn't dropped yet, and they don't have a date on it. But I hate having to go to the clothing store to change clothes. I want an apartment so I can change in private.
Can't you just change in the quick menu?
If you can, you just taught me how. I'm not sure.
I think you can. You just cycle through stuff you've already bought.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah, you know, that quick menu, you taught me about that, and I forgot about it again. Don't remember how to open it, but I remember seeing the first, like, that little clue in the top left of the screen that you can barely read. I caught it, like, a half a second of it, and it didn't tell me how to do it, or I didn't read fast enough for it to tell me how to do it, and I never saw it again, so I never learned.
I believe it is you hold down the select button.
That's easy.
It's like a long hold on the select button until it pops up or something like that.
All right.
Could be wrong.
Well, now I can stop going to Sotheby's clothing store. Awesome.
Have you played any more? Well, you said you were playing more Mario 3D Land. Are you still enjoying that?
Yes, quite a bit. I'm getting my butt handed to me by the second quest with those new and slightly edited levels. They are just, it's like going back to Mario Brothers 1 on the NES and trying to play World 5, 6, and 7. It's like just nearly impossible. You know, I got into the second quest with 130 lives that I'd collected through the 8 worlds of the first quest, and I got down to around 80, and most of them were blown on this one particular level. And they don't give you the hand-holding Nintendo thing like they do in the World 1, where you get the invincible raccoon suit. You don't get that in this. You actually have to struggle at it. So I really appreciate what Nintendo did by giving me this second quest that's a pain in the neck challenge. And I hope that's something that works its way into the rest of the game, games that Nintendo does a real good quest. Yeah, if you want to hold my hand for World 1, and I don't know, what was the mode where the game would take over and play it for you?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
What do they call that?
I don't know. Cheating?
Yeah, anyway, they can do that, but, you know, give me a way to actually have to struggle, or I like being punished like the game is punishing me. I don't know, I'm coming to the game late, but man, is that a really good game for the 3DS.
Now, with the 3DS, do you play with the 3D on?
Sometimes, yes. There are levels that are specifically designed for 3D where it's the game is set on an isometric 3D where everything is two-point perspective, and if the 3D is not turned on, you can't see where to jump because those blocks are lining up and they all look flat. So when you put the 3D on, you can see, oh, this one's closer, this one's further, and then you can actually plot your way through the level. Beyond that, there are just sometimes where the 3D is distracting for the jumps, so I turn it off, and then there are sometimes where it's helpful for the jumps, and I have it on, so it alternates. And the game does a good job of letting you know when those moments are. Like, the level starts, and there's 3D spelled out with coins, or the little icon shows up in the bottom left that says 3D, and those are usually the levels that they kind of deliberately designed with needing the 3D on. So I've appreciated that. And then I go, okay, there's this level in this game, but you just released the 2DS where it would be a pain in the neck to play this level in 2D.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that.
Yep. I kind of wondered what they were doing, you know. But yeah, it's playable. You can put it in the system and play it, but you're not going to have a good time on.
Well, are those levels that you have to finish in order to get to the end, or are they like just challenge levels?
I think some of them are challenges, or if you go down the pipe or go into the little orange glowing question mark box that teleports you to the bonus level. So I don't think no, but you might miss out on a gold coin or two. You might not, you know, get a power up when you particularly need it because you can't see where you need to go.
Did you see the Zelda edition of the 3DS?
XL?
Yeah.
Yeah. I so, kind of want it.
I that's why I showed it to you.
I can't afford it, especially after I just bought this. So. Well, here's, a question that'll make the decision easier for me. Is it a digital copy or a physical copy?
It's probably a digital copy.
Then I don't care. Never mind. I do want the 3DS, but no, it's not a $200 purchase. $219, was it? $220?
Yeah, $220. Most of the time, even with the Wii U, if they do the free game, it's just a voucher in there for a digital copy of it. That's the way Wind Waker HD was for the Zelda Wii U. So,
which was I don't like digital copies. With how Nintendo is so anal about how they protect the virtual console and the original Wii and how you can't transfer that from one system to another, it's all system based. I don't trust Nintendo to not find a way to make me have to buy Wind Waker again someday. That game doesn't feel like mine.
Speaking of transferring game content nonsense, my wife started playing Kingdoms of Amalur because it was free on PlayStation Plus. And you know, before that, we had been looking for it for months to try and find a new copy of it for like $20 somewhere. We never could. But she started playing it on her account on my PlayStation. And she wanted me to set up the other PlayStation 3 we have in the house in her video game room so that she could play it in there when I was playing like GTA with you or Arkham Origins or something. And so I was like, okay, I'll set it up for you. And after, you know, waiting for Danner for like a week or so to deactivate his console or my stuff on his console, I was finally able to download Kingdoms of Amalur onto the other PlayStation 3. However, I couldn't get her save off of my PlayStation. Because some of the saves are copy protected.
Uh-huh.
And so you can't make a backup. I think you can make a backup of them, but you can't actually move them anywhere. You have to make a whole system backup in order to do it, or you have to have PlayStation Plus and save them to the cloud. So we ran out to GameStop and bought a $50 PSN card, and she signed up for PlayStation Plus because one of the things we learned about the PlayStation 4 this on Tuesday, I think it was, is that you won't be able to share digital games. The way it's going to work with the PlayStation 4 is you have your primary console where all your stuff is playable, and anyone that plays on that can play all the games. However, if I were to sign in on my wife's PS4, where she's the primary user, if I sign in, I can download my game again to play on her system in her room if I want to, but she can't sign in under her name and play my game. She has to be signed in under me to play my game, which, you know, doesn't allow her to get any trophies or anything like that. Anyways, we decided that it was probably a good idea to pick up PlayStation Plus for her so that, you know, everything would be just, we'd be ready to go on November 15th. And so I was able to back up her saves to the cloud. I still wasn't paying attention when I uploaded them. It threw up some stupid message that I didn't bother to read, and it uploaded to the cloud, and I came in the other room and I went to go download them, and it had a 24-hour lockout. Like,
what?
She had to wait 24 hours before she could download the information from the cloud.
Weird.
I think That might be because it's like copy protected information, or it could be because it's a save file for a PlayStation Plus game that is on my account. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't tried to upload anything else. But it's kind of inconvenient, especially since your save doesn't get pulled out of the cloud. It's not like you can load a game from your cloud storage. The cloud storage has to be, the save file has to be physically on your system, which I'm hoping is something that's slightly different with the PlayStation 4. But there are quite a few games that are copy protected that the only way you can move the information around is with PlayStation Plus. I know The Walking Dead is that way. You can't copy a save file because didn't I try to take yours, Danner?
Try to take my what?
Because I remember you and I started playing The Walking Dead together. And I think, didn't I come home and I was like, I don't want to start all the way over from the beginning. I want to start at episode 3 where you and I left off, but I ended up having to start over because we couldn't copy the save file or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's getting kind of weird.
I don't feel like we own these digital things we're downloading. I don't like it.
Well, no, I can still take it with me. Like, I can move it to another system. It's just I can't share, like, and someone else, like, she can play it. It just has to be under my name. But she can log in on the primary system and play it under her name. So, I don't know. I guess I could set up both systems as a primary one. I don't know if that's possible, though. Anyways. So, anything else? Have you been...
I don't think so. Not yet. There's a game coming out that I keep getting excited for and then completely forgetting about. Like, there's one more thing. Assassin's Creed 4 dropped this past Tuesday, but I don't really care about that. I want to care about it, but I don't.
And you will on Black Friday when it's like $30.
I doubt it.
I've heard good things.
I'll care. Well, I don't like pirates. I wasn't as attracted to those ship missions as everybody else was in 3. I'll be excited for it when it's $15 in a GameStop dump bin.
I will say this about the one thing I've read about Assassin's Creed 4 was somebody was comparing it to the PS3, the PS4, because no one's seen it on the Xbox One yet. People were comparing it to the Xbox, their PS4 to the Xbox 360 and the PS3 version. And one thing that I kind of expected with the current gen systems, but not with the next gen, is loading screens. I thought Assassin's Creed 4 was supposed to be like a seamless open world, you know, run out of the city, jump in your ship, sail away thing. And I've heard that there's loading screens whenever you pull into a dock, which is, I have not seen one in like a video. So now I'm kind of like, what's happening here? Kind of bummed out about that. I mean, I was really excited because I was like, wow, they're really, you know, pulling out all the stops here. And yeah, they said that there are loading screens on all of them, not just the current gen stuff. I expected it on the current gen stuff because I was like, there's no way they can possibly do that. But they said that they're on the PS4 version as well. So I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. It's 1080p. And I guess they were able to lock it at 30 frames per second so it won't jump all over the thing, over the place.
Because Assassin's 3 was jumping everywhere.
And the animations are a lot smoother because they don't have to drop animations during combat to keep up with things.
Nice.
So they actually kind of finish. I am looking forward to that. But what was the game that you... Did you say you were looking... There's a game you're looking forward to, or there's a game that you feel like you're looking forward to, Joe?
There's a game that I think I'm looking forward to, but I can't remember what it is. Like, I'll see it on an ad on a website and go, oh, yeah, that's going to be the last current-gen game I buy. And then I forget about it. And it's like, oh, well, I got Grand Theft Auto V to play with.
That's true.
If it comes to me, I will definitely let you know.
All right. Danner?
I'm in suspense now. I don't know how to feel.
What's coming out in the next 2 months, guys?
Games?
Anything that's current gen.
Things?
Nothing.
Ratchet and Clank.
That's why I feel like that there isn't anything, but, you know, whatever.
So, Danner.
Yes.
You have seen some of this stuff. I have not. The ghost extinction. You want to share a little bit of that for all of us?
So this week, Infinity Ward revealed an extinction mode on Call of Duty Ghosts, which is pretty much, for those of you that play the Treyarch Call of Duty games, they have something called zombie mode. Well, they revealed this week extinction mode, which is zombie mode essentially, but with alien invasions and aliens, and it really looks kind of cool. I think they're basically doing this to replace the co-op missions, I believe, that they had going in the former Modern Warfare games. So I think this is their way of getting kind of rid of the co-op mission mode. They're going to do extinction mode, which basically looks like a kind of like the zombie mode, where it's kind of that survival mode, a group of people working together for a common goal. But it looks like Left 4 Dead with aliens, with Call of Duty mechanics. It just looks cool. But the thing I'm curious is, with a mode like this, because many people since seeing this have go, well, I wasn't going to buy Call of Duty, but now that I see this, I'm going to buy it now. I don't know why they waited so close to the release of the game to say something about this, because literally there's been absolutely nothing about this until this week.
Well, I wonder if it's, and this is kind of dumb considering what franchise it is, but I wonder if it's one of those things where you want to keep the game in the public mind, and it's kind of, you don't tip your hand with everything up front and then just let it, you know, simmer for months on end. It's kind of like, we want to get people excited, so we want to release a news story so that all the sites pick it up and have something to say about it.
Steady trickle.
It's like what happened. We saw it happen this year, right? Because Sony announced the PlayStation 4 in February, and we've been talking about it every week since February because they've been drip feeding information.
And yeah, it just, to me, it seems, I don't know, it doesn't really seem like Call of Duty seems to be one of those series that
doesn't need to do that.
That doesn't really need to do that, because, you know, they get people, they sell games, they claim that they're not for gamers, whatever. I'm not bitter about that statement they made at all.
What?
So, oh, you didn't hear about this? The president of Infinity Ward coming out and saying that our games aren't for real gamers?
That doesn't make any sense.
I agree. I think it's because
he was
referring to the
sense.
It makes sense if you're, you know, not a Call of Duty gamer and, you know, not a dude bro. So,
yep.
I think I just felt insulted when they said that, since I've been playing the series since its inception, and just felt a little hurt. That's all.
I don't think they're involving, including you in that definition, but I think they are including the type of people. And we knew the customers at GameStop that would spend $300 on a new system to play
Madden,
and that's it. And there are people now who spend $300 on a gaming system to play only Call of Duty. You have taste, you like other things, you know why you like other things, you're able to extrapolate on why you like those things, but I think they were digging on all the rest of those people who annoy me so much because they have no taste.
Joe,
no real taste.
Me,
I'll make fun of you for your taste, but I know you have it. I won't actually deprive you of your qualifications. But other dude bros playing that game who only play that, yeah, I'll make fun of them all day.
Joe, now that you've put it in perspective, I feel better about myself. So yeah, thank you.
I think you offended Chauncey, though.
I don't know what you're talking about, guys. I don't even like Call of Duty anymore. I'm just the Battlefield guy, and I just love Battlefield. Shut up, Sean. Okay, Art.
So, Tanner, have you been playing anything else?
I've been playing Batman.
Besides Batman?
and I've been playing the Toy Story pack in Disney Infinity.
Thought that was for your kids.
Well, I've been playing it with Graydon. When Noelle doesn't want to play, I will pick up and take her spot because she's fickle and comes back every 15 minutes. Then says she wants to play. And then she gets distracted by something shiny and then is gone for 20 minutes. And I play for her. And yeah, it's kind of like that. So that's been fun. I've been enjoying that. It seems to capture the kids' attention much more than the other packets that have come out on that.
I need to come over and play this, I think.
It's fun. I mean, I think you'll get a kick out of it. I think the Toy Story one is by far the more solid than any of the other worlds they've put out so far. Just because it doesn't seem, it's not derived in the movies at all. It's its own thing. It's a completely new concept and story, and it has nothing to do with the movies, where it seems like every single one of the packs they've put out is ingrained in the movie world of each of those characters, where they put it in a on an alien planet and you have to build a Star Command on this alien planet, and there's you know puddles of goo everywhere, and green goo makes you big, purple goo makes you small, so it just deals with size manipulation for all the puzzles and stuff for it, and it's pretty interesting. It's well done. Like I said, it's a lot different than any of the other worlds that they've done for the game so far, which has been kind of nice.
All right. See, I think I'm still going to pick up the PlayStation 4 version just so you can have it.
That's fine. So you can get your Incredibles figures.
Yeah. Come on. How dumb was that? They had the Mr. Incredible. They were clear. That's the wrong character to make. To release in a clear version.
Well, it was him and Sully were and Lightning McQueen. So all the ones, well, I guess Lightning McQueen doesn't come in the main pack. Yeah, all those Toys R Us are exclusive and they're only clear.
That's which is weird. Why would I want a clear figure?
Violet. Well,
the other
clear
thing that was weird also is that they had Walmart had Woody exclusive for like 2 weeks before the Toy Story pack came out. So which means you could only use him in the open world like toy box mode,
but you still had him for 2 weeks before anybody else.
Yeah, I just waited until the Toy Story pack came out, and then Target had a buy the pack and then get any figure for 50% off. So I got Woody.
Cool.
I got a Woody.
All right, one last little bit of news before we take a break and begin our Xbox, or not our Xbox, our Arkham Origins discussion.
You got Xbox on the brain?
No, I don't. Well, actually, yes, I do, because the story that I wanted to bring up, which you know only really affects me, it doesn't affect anybody else because nobody else seems to care about the game but me, is Titanfall. EA has come out and said that is exclusive to the Xbox One, the Xbox 360, and the PC for the life of the title.
Crazy.
Which
until it doesn't make any money, and then they have to open it up to the PS4.
Well,
yeah, that could still change.
I'm sure they don't really care, considering Microsoft probably paid a pretty hefty sum
to make it exclusive.
Yes. Now, that's not to say that Titanfall 2 couldn't show up on the PS4. It's just Titanfall is supposedly, I'm going to say supposedly, because even Mass Effect showed up on the PS3, is supposedly never coming to the PlayStation 4. And this makes me really sad, because whenever I look through the Xbox One lineup compared to the PlayStation 4 lineup, the one game that makes me think, man, maybe, you know, I would really like to play that game and I would need an Xbox One to do so, is Titanfall. Like, that's the one game that they have. And it really just kind of bums me out, because like I said, EA is a multi-platform game publisher, not, you know, an exclusive game publisher. So, and apparently the studio that made the game had no idea that this deal was taking place until they heard about it. EA went ahead and just did it with Microsoft.
Wow.
Now, from what my understanding is that Respawn Studios still owns the IP, but they're still a really small studio, and so they can't really go and like self-publish their own stuff. They kind of need EA to help them out with the publishing part of it.
Those guys seem to get screwed no matter where they go.
Don't they, though?
Yeah.
So, pour one out for Titanfall. All right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to annoy the hell out of Joe. And
No, I'm interested in hearing this. I really am.
We're going to talk about Batman Arkham Origins.
Titanfall, Titanfell.
Did you see, before we go to break, did you see the other Kaz Harai tweet where he's like, we have our own Titanfall killer. It's called Trentonfall.
No.
And it was Jack Tretton's face photoshopped on a Titan.
Oh, I did see that.
So, all right. We're going to take a break, and off the cuff, we'll be right back.
Pixels in the Animation has now left the Mushroom Kingdom, Paisans, to enter the realm of Hyrule in episodes 16 through 20 of PETA. Join TV's Mr. Neil and TFG1 Mike as they are going through the classic, and I actually have my fingers in the air and making air quotes when we say classic, Legend of Zelda the Animated Series. This time around, a special guest joins the guys for the Zelda reviews. It's the famed Ender from Radio Free Cybertron. And the Pullback. So tune in and help us find the pixels in the animation, which you can find on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. Excuse us, listeners.
And we're back on the other side of some ad that I will choose at the time of editing. probably, I don't know what it'll be. It'll probably be an audible.com ad. No,
it'll be an advertisement about things and possibly stuff.
It will be an advertisement for another podcast on geekcastradio.com.
That you should totally listen to, unless this is the only one you listen to and you only listen to one. Don't change us out for another one, because we love you.
We love you on a weekly basis. We love you hard.
Except for when Joe makes fun of you for no apparent reason with no basis.
Because yeah, apparently you have no friends.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What a
I'm
dick.
I'm still so sorry.
It's all right. I don't think anyone called you out on it. Or that guy just hasn't listened to the podcast.
I think I hope it's obvious that I didn't mean that. But, you know, okay.
Which reminds me, I should probably pull up the comments from the last show. So we can cover those too.
Yay, comments.
Okay.
I like comments.
So, let's get this train rolling here.
Was that your Sean impression, Joe?
No. Okay. That was my I'm going to creep out all of my middle school students voice.
Oh,
you creeped me out.
I thought you were trying to pull a Sean. Because it sounded like you had no balls, so I just figured that was a Sean impression.
I don't know if he listens to these shows when he's not on them.
He should, because his fault. I hope it makes him cry.
Dang.
Hope it makes it weep and do his KY so it gives him a little bit extra lube.
Dang, man. All right. So, Danner.
Yes.
To start off, how many hours have you do you think you've put into Arkham Origins? Or wait, no, better yet. This is how we're going to cover Arkham Origins. One sentence or less. What do you think of Arkham Origins?
Pure enjoyment.
Wow. Okay, how many hours have you put into the game?
Probably 6 or 7.
All right. I think I'm about there, about eight or so hours.
I think you're farther than me in the story.
I don't know about that. Because we were talking about how many bosses we've taken out.
Actually, you know what? You're probably wrong, because I've taken out another one on the list from what I gave you yesterday.
Okay, well, let's back up here for a second. Okay, Arkham Origins is the prequel. Actually, it's the third game in the Arkham series, which was famously showed up on scene from Rocksteady in 2009. Started with Arkham Asylum. And then it was followed up in 2011 by Arkham
City.
Arkham City. And then now we have a prequel where all the art assets and everything else to make the game was handed off to Warner Brothers Montreal. And Arkham Origins was born. It is set before Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. And anyone that's listened to the podcast has heard me rail about how I think the game will be bad, or if, you know, it's going to be a travesty and all this other stuff.
He's not entirely correct.
No, I kind of take back some of what I said. Although sometimes when I'm playing the game, actually, if I had to sum it up in one sentence or less, I would actually have to say it's good to the point where I feel bad playing it or feel bad for enjoying it. Because one of my concerns with the whole thing was it took a studio like Rocksteady to come out and actually make a good Batman game. And for Warner Brothers to decide that any studio could potentially make a good Batman game using that same formula, that really bothered me, because
the thing I think is that they've been really, really concerned with screwing this up because they know how big of a deal this is for their gaming division. And they know that this is really the only franchise that Warner Brothers has in their gaming division that actually makes
the Lego games. Yep.
I take back everything I just said. they want it to be a solid franchise and they don't want to lose money with it. So I think they did treat it with pretty much the utmost respect that they could. Do I think it would have been better done by Rocksteady? Yes. But do I respect what Rocksteady's doing right now and respecting the space that it's giving them to work on their next project? Yes.
Yeah, well, I was kind of worried that it was going to run into like the same thing that happened with like X-Men 3 and Superman Returns, where it was like Singer wanted to make X-Men 3, but he wanted to make Superman Returns first, and both movies ended up being crap. And I was worried that the kind of the same thing would happen here, where it's like Warner Brothers wanted Rocksteady to make another Arkham game, but Rocksteady wants to work on a Justice League game, and then Warner Brothers is like, well, we want another Arkham game, so we'll just make a studio to make that game. Basically beating around the bush, not beating around the bush anymore. I am actually enjoying Origins more than I enjoyed City.
And I'm going to say exactly the same. And I think a lot of the reasons I'm enjoying it more is the pacing is so much better than City, because they give you other missions from the main missions. It's a much steadier rate, and they don't, that was the biggest complaint I know we both had with City, was the fact that they give you all this stuff. Like the moment you get out of the first story mission, all this stuff pops up around the city and it turns into this whole giant ADD fest where you don't know where to go because there's so much stuff going on in the city. And it's like, do I do main story missions or do I do one of these 12 other things that are going around in the city at the exact same time? And it just felt so pressureful to go do other stuff, but it would just became very hard to balance between the main story and everything else that was going on.
But not even that, like some of the side quests in Arkham City were like fan service and dumb. Like the thing with Bane, like you meet Bane and it's like, I need you to help me to destroy these six things. You go get three of them, I'll get the other three, and that's it. What? Well, like there was no point in that story. And
then you end up fighting him.
I don't even remember fighting him.
Oh, there's you didn't finish it then.
I locked him in a cell and then that was the end of that.
You fight him and then lock him in the cell. So there you go.
Oh, see, well, there you go. I don't even remember. That's how pointless that whole thing was to me. I will say this, though, about City. And it's interesting that Sean Z, at the beginning of the episode, brought up his love for Saints Row 4. In a lot of ways, and I think I said this to you like in a text, sometimes when I'm playing Arkham Origins, it feels like story DLC for Arkham City. Because they use a lot of the same assets.
Yeah, because but a lot of the city that they're reusing isn't, you know, it's pretty much all destroyed in the first one, and now in this one it's before all those things happen in the right. other two games, so it's a much more pristine, better looking thing. But the other aspect that's missing from the city is the fact that the city's on curfew and it's on lockdown, so there's still, once again, nobody in the city but criminals.
That, I don't know what it is, but like that just, I have the same, and this is kind of going off on a tangent here, but I have the same problem with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I've like, noticed that.
There's no, like, it's set in New York City, or do they even say it's New York in that show? I don't even know
yeah,
if they
it's
do.
Yeah, New York.
Okay. There's never anybody else. You hardly ever see any civilians anywhere. And it's, and this is another thing that Dan and I were talking about. It's like everyone, every single guy that you come across in Origins thinks they are like tough as nails and they're going to be the one to take out the Batman. And I understand that this is like supposed to be like, you know, a younger Batman. He's just starting out. Not a lot of people know who he is or anything like that. But it's just weird that everybody tries to fight you. Like there is no intimidation in this game. I there was an instance where I dropped from a building to get one of these one of the Riddler's relay stations. And there were two guys huddled around a barrel, you know, with fire in it for warmth. And they were just standing there, and I dropped on the ground next to them, and I walked up behind them, and I was expecting them to like see me. And like, I thought they were just like NPC characters. I didn't even think you could fight them. And so I just kind of walked over to them, and they didn't engage me or anything like that. And I thought, you know, as soon as they see me, maybe they'll get startled and run away. No, they turned towards me, and the first thing they did was take a swing at me. And I didn't even do anything to them. I don't know if I was those guys and a guy came up to me dressed like freaking Batman, I'd probably turn around and shit my pants. Like, I don't, everybody is just trying to get you. And there isn't one person. It'd be just interesting to come across one guy. And even like when you come across the, I think one of my favorite things is when you're zipping around the city, which for some reason feels better in this than it did in Arkham City.
It does, yeah.
When you're zipping around the city, you get those police calls.
Yep.
Those are kind of fun, although it took me a little while to realize that I was just beating up guilty cops or dirty cops.
Not all the time. In other aspects of the city, they're not dirty cops.
Okay. Well,
I've only beaten up two groups of dirty cops so far, except for the Gotham City GCPD. GCPD. There we go. Woo, jeez, took me a while to get there. Apologize. Okay. Except for the GCPD building, where that's all you do is beat up dirty cops.
Now let me ask you this about the GCPD. There's that one area where you have to walk over where all the cops are.
Yep.
Did you ever drop in to try to beat them all up?
They accidentally saw me when I wasn't being careful, and I got the crap kicked out of me.
I must have tried it somewhere between 6 and 10 times. Like I threw a smoke bomb in there and dropped in on them and tried to take them all out.
Well, that seems silly.
It was no, I just want to see if it could be done. It was because you're freaking Batman, and the way that the combo system works in that game is when you have a lot of guys to hit, you can rack up the combo meter.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, if I keep moving and I keep hitting the guys that have like the guns, you know, they'll drop them and I can just keep going in a circle around the room. But every once in a while, some guy would get a lucky hit in and I wouldn't hit the counter button in time. And I would lose my combo streak and have to start over. And I did it a couple times. And then Allie, my wife, sat down next to me. I said, okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to watch the surrounding area to see if these guys are even falling down. Because it was one of those instances where I was kind of like, can you even take any of these guys out?
Or is it a no-win scenario?
Exactly. And she says she couldn't see anybody that was actually getting hit and staying on the ground. So I was just kind of like, okay, well, then it's a no-win.
I noticed that the cops seem a little
dirty.
No, I was going to say they're a bitch to fight. The SWAT officers are a bitch to fight because they do not go down easy.
Are you talking about like the guys that have the gear on that you have to do the, you have to stun them first?
No, no. Just like any of the guys that run the SWAT team, like the regular cops go down fine, but any of the SWAT officers are a bitch to take down. Like the guys that were roughing up the two guys at the very front of the there's like four cops roughing up those homeless people at the very front entrance of the GRCPD when you're kind of sneaking through there. And those four guys were a bitch to take down.
Okay. I guess I didn't see them. I very rarely spend any time on the ground because even when I step foot on the ground for a second, some guy runs up to me and tries to punch me in the face. I'm just like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
You know, I've been listening to you guys, and I really, you know, for a game that you're saying is really awesome and having a lot of fun with, you haven't talked about what's good about it. I've only heard griping, which leads me to believe that the reviews that I've read may be true, because I've only seen it getting like below 5 out of 10 sort of scores.
Well, it's one of those things that I'm trying to be critical of it, but also, It's a good game. I'm enjoying the game, but I'm enjoying it as I enjoyed the other ones. But like I said, so far in this game, I feel that there's some glitchiness to it, which I did not experience in Arkham City. But the pacing's better, and I'm enjoying the story, but I'm not. Until I beat the game, I can't really comment on the overarchingness of the story. I mean, most of the stuff that's happened in the story to me has been kind of predictable, but enjoyable.
Yeah, I think.
And the fact that every single commercial and advertisement for this game has been very misleading and very false, because they set up the premise and the premise goes out the window within the first 4 hours of the game.
Yeah. That's,
which I thought was great. I love it when that happens. I love the fact that they've been advertising it and putting it a certain way and then just completely spend it on its heels, and whatever they advertised and promised from the game was all lies. And I'm fine with that. I like that.
So for me, and this has been kind of the way the Arkham series has always been for me, and I think it may be the first game I ever said this for, Arkham Asylum was the first game I ever said this for, which is that Arkham Asylum was so good that it was easier to talk about what was bad about it. Arkham City was kind of the other way around, where I could talk about some of the good things in it because it looked good and it had the same core gameplay mechanics, but a lot of the other stuff fell flat. And I think it's kind of come back around with Arkham Origins, where now it's back to that part where it's easier to talk about what's wrong with the game. And they're like minor gripes. Like the whole thing, like Danner said, yeah, there is an excuse for like people not to be out on the streets, but just the sheer amount of criminals that are on the streets is ridiculous.
It's almost like we're in a giant city that was turned into a prison.
So,
oh wait, they've already done that.
But I think that, the other thing that I kind of noticed about Origins is that it makes you, first of all, I don't think it's as good as Asylum was, but it does a really good job of making you feel like Batman.
Yes.
Which is something that I didn't get out of City. Like there's something in it, and it might be the way the pacing is, or it might be like the way that things are laid out. Like for instance, some of the bosses or some like, you don't just run into a boss. You go someplace and you trigger an event, or you trigger like a small cutscene, and then it puts you on the path to finding said boss. And it's up to you to finish like certain little side quests here or there to lead to that boss. And I think that kind of stuff is really interesting, where it just kind of depends on where you are in the city, whether or not it gets triggered. It's not, you don't progress necessarily through the story to trigger certain events. You just have to go through like the traversal of it, which is great, because when you're traversing around the city, and you're running along rooftops or ziplining everywhere, eventually you get like a call on the scanner that says there's a crime in progress, and it tells you where the crime is, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna go be Batman, I'm gonna go interrupt that crime. And it just feels really good to do that. I think that this is a better open world game than City was, just because of that.
I agree.
If this were the first Arkham game, would it be as good? Would it be good? Would it be better than what you had? I mean, if this was the first time you played a good Batman game, what would you think about it?
I would think great things, amazing things.
Yes.
Okay.
But the thing that I loved about Asylum was that it was so focused. There wasn't anything in Asylum that didn't need to be there.
And that's the one thing that I think that Origins gets over City, is the fact that it feels more focused, like Asylum did. But it's not like super focused linear like Asylum, where it was kind of open world, but it's not. I mean, Origins is, the world's huge in Origins.
Yeah, I don't feel as, for some reason, I felt like a certain amount of, even though Origins takes place in one night and City took place in one night, for some reason I felt more of a time constraint in, like, an urgentness to City.
It's City had that urgentness, but it also had that, oh my God, there's so much going on in the city right now, I don't know what to do with myself. That was like a big issue I had with City.
And I completely agree with that. But I think the urgentness, the feeling of urgency in City magnified the amount of stuff there was to do, because it was like, you want me to go do all this stuff, but I still have to save this city. And I don't even think there wasn't like an actual hard time limit to finishing the game. I don't even think there was like a catastrophic event that you were really trying to stop. Was there? Was there a rocket or a bomb or
in
something?
In City, it was, they were going to bomb the asylum, because eventually in the storyline, if you're going down the storyline and you get like to essentially when the final protocol, or yeah, the final protocol start, the blimps come out and pretty much start gunning down everybody in the city.
Okay.
And most of the stuff goes on lockdown, and you can't really do anything at that point except for progress along the main story.
Right.
And then once you complete that, I mean,
then you can go be Batman.
Then you could go be Batman.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, it does this, and this goes back to what I said about our Origins feeling like story DLC. It almost does feel like, it feels like the after game of City, but with the story.
Yeah.
Because you can go anywhere and do what you want. And again, the game does take place in one night. In fact, I think I've gone past midnight in the game because I've heard Alfred say something about Merry Christmas.
Yeah, which I also thought was a very nice touch about the game, that when you're swinging through and Alfred goes, sir, it's midnight, I just want to wish you Merry Christmas, and then he goes, Merry Christmas, Alfred, and like then the bell tolls in the background,
oh,
the clock beautiful. Tower and I'm just like it's little things like that that don't need to be in the game that are just nice little details. Like, I love the dichotomy between Alfred and Batman in this game. Absolutely love it, because it's early on in his career where Alfred is not fully behind him yet, and is really keeps trying to convince him to get the cops involved or leave this for somebody else constantly throughout the game, or you know, reminding him that, you know, these are cops you're dealing with, try to be a little easier on them. And it's that Alfred's trying to have him grip onto his humanity, and Bruce is trying like hell to not grip onto his humanity. And it's just, that's the one thing I've really enjoyed about this game, is that relationship between Alfred and Batman, has been fantastic. That's the one thing I've got to say above all else. The dialogue and the acting, I think, are just fantastic.
See, okay, if I borrow this game from one of you in a month or three, am I going to have a hard time not having played the other two?
No.
Okay.
You might have a hard time playing the other two. Just by virtue of it being the third one, and it's, even though it's a prequel, it's the third one, so there's like mechanics that are in it that wouldn't be in Asylum.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm worried about. I had a hard time with the control scheme of even part one once they got into any kind of button combination. I was like, oh, okay, I'm done.
The way I always play the Arkham games is just mash square and triangle.
Yep.
I don't even bother with any of the button combos. I will say this. We talked about the Merry Christmas thing. You said you were like swinging through the city. I was in the middle of a fight when that happened. And I was punching thugs in the face when Alfred came over the thing and said, Merry Christmas, sir. Just like, this is great. How casually I'm just beating on thugs. But no, it's great. I do enjoy it. I also do enjoy seeing the key places from Arkham City. I just wish there was more familiarity with them, especially when you go inside some of the same buildings, because I'm pretty sure in Arkham City you go inside the GCPD.
I don't know.
Okay,
what
is Freeze Takeover? Is that the morgue? No.
Yeah, it's the morgue.
Oh, okay, he took over the morgue.
It is GRCPD. Yeah, and it looks absolutely nothing like it. No. Huh.
Yeah, that kind of bummed me out. But then again, you know, there's a scene underground,
it's also,
so...
I mean, this takes place, what, 3 to 5 years before Arkham Asylum?
Right, you've been underground already, right?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe that's got something to do with it.
The inside of the courthouse looks almost exactly the same. There's a few subtle differences, like there isn't a basement level to get to, but that stairwell's just not there. But that could have easily been, you know, something created in a remodel.
Right. So one thing, and I already talked to Danner about this on text and stuff like that, but I don't feel like, and this could be controller lag, this could be in, like, you know, display lag, it could be anything, it could even be player error or just how bad I am at the game. I don't feel like the controls are as sharp as they were in Asylum or City. Like, you hit triangle to counter, but more often than not, I just end up getting punched in the back of the head. Do you notice that at all?
I was going to say, it actually feels a little, the combat actually feels a little bit more tighter to me. And I don't think it's one of those things in the past two games you had to get used to how it was off slightly. And I think they're a little more, I don't know, this, it feels a little more on to me in this game than it did in the other two games.
I will say this. Batman is definitely wearing hockey pants.
Yes, he is.
What?
That's straight up hockey pants. I don't know what they were thinking with that costume design. Or he has thighs like tree trunks and the rest of him is like fit. Like
the suit seems kind of bulky.
It seems bulky in the pants.
But like it's 3 years before
I know
Asylum. I mean, it should be bulky.
I understand. I'm
the other thing I gotta say that I love about the voice actor for Batman. Have you noticed when he gets upset with criminals and like is yelling at them, how he goes into the Christian Bale mode?
Yeah.
Which I thought was fantastic. Like, he doesn't have that refined Batman that Conroy has, but it has that like gruffness that Bale kind of brought to it. Like, when he yells at people, he sounds like Bale does in the Batman in the Nolan
right Well, except he doesn't sound like he's chewing on rocks.
Agreed. You can understand what he's saying. He doesn't sound like he's gargling a mouthful of cum. So that's nice. But I know a lot of people were pissed when they heard that Conroy wasn't voicing it and that Hamill wasn't coming back to do the Joker. But to be honest, I don't mind either of the guys that are voicing them. They sound fine.
Batman, this might be sacrilege considering, you know, Asylum and City are, well, Asylum was great and City was okay. I feel like I never really felt like Conroy's Batman fit with that Batman.
Oh, I agree.
I don't get me wrong. It just,
I don't think I'd have had it any other way, but it didn't fit.
Like, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Cause I don't know who else I would want in that role or anything, but I just never felt like his voice fit the armored wearing Batman. Or just the look, but I really did enjoy the nod to the whole, you know, the Batman the Animated Series where all the voice actors came back to reprise their roles. That was awesome, and that was I'm pretty sure that was one of the biggest selling points for that game, you know, was the voice cast and stuff like that. That said, Hamill I thought fit the Joker. I think his Joker voice fits any Joker that there is. But the new guy they got, he's pretty good too.
Yeah, no, he is.
There was a moment.
He's taking a lot of his voice is very much based on Hamill's version. But I've been pretty happy so far.
I've only had the one encounter with him.
So have I.
And for a minute in that scene, I kind of thought maybe they pulled one over on people. Like,
yeah,
they got Hamill to come back. Like, there was, and obviously they didn't because you would be hearing about it all over the internet, but it does sound like they could have pulled one over on people. I haven't really had a problem with Batman's voice at all because I think this guy just,
he sounds like
the Batman that would be in that suit.
Exactly.
Which is great. And the whole reason I said earlier about Arkham Origins, I feel bad for liking it so much because damn. You
didn't want to?
I didn't want it to be this good. I wanted it to fall flat and then it would
live
be like
up to my low expectations.
And the other thing that I will say that I've enjoyed about it, which I don't think Mike's really shared my opinion, is the crime scene stuff in this game, I think is a lot. I don't know. In the past games, it seemed very like, here's a crime scene and scan that, you're done. The being able to fast forward and rewind the crime scene after you put pieces of it together so you can actually see what happened, I thought was a cool aspect. Which I pointed out to Mike was something they kind of ripped off from the Condemned series, which I was fine with. But I've been enjoying the crime scene investigation stuff. I hope it doesn't go like the other games where it's something they use like in the beginning of the game and then completely goes by the wayside and they never utilize it later in the game ever again.
It doesn't. Here's the thing about the crime scene investigation things. Yes, they're cool. I do enjoy them in this game, and I do enjoy because you can actually see the whole thing about what happens. But it's just one of those. This is one of those prime examples of making a prequel after two other games. Because if he can investigate crimes this way, but then he can't do that in Arkham Asylum or anything else, it's just one of those little video game nitpicky things, right? But I do enjoy them in the way that they're laid out. I guess they are more interactive because you can fast forward and rewind through the scene. One of the things I like doing is when you're doing the fast forward and the rewind things and watching the scene play out is walking around the scene while it's happening.
Oh yeah.
That's really cool. And they don't seem to be like tied into the story other than the one other than the big one that we've seen so far. They seem to just pop up at random when you're around the city. They're just unsolved case files, which is also kind of neat. I guess I do like them. I guess the hand-holding nature of them, which is just like scan that, now scan this, now scan that, now scan this, is just kind of weird, because it's like you go and you check out a crime scene, and it's like
eventually you want them to be more complicated and just go, here's a crime scene, figure it out yourself.
Almost to that point. What I do find funny is when he's like, oh, I have to identify this victim, and you point at the sheet that's covering them up.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even lift it up, but he already knows who they are.
Well, it's one of those things that there's only so much you could get away with in a T-rated game. I mean, if it was a mature rated game, I'm sure it would be a little more gruesome than that.
I totally get it. I understand. I'm just nitpicking now.
It's one of those things that they're playing towards what the rating they get were given. So,
but it does, like I keep saying, it does, it feels really good to be, I get a better sense of being Batman in the larger world. Like, I think Asylum is an excellent example of how Batman would attack a contained situation. But I think Origins is a better idea of how Batman spends his nights.
Yep. I agree with that.
And I'm not quite sure what City does.
City was fun, and I thought it was, I mean, I enjoyed City as much as we've kind of complained about it, but like I said, the pacing sucked.
Are there as many, one thing I've been kind of on the lookout for, but I haven't really found, is there aren't a lot of collectibles this time around.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Well, okay, there, I haven't seen like a Riddler trophy.
They're replaced with the draw, what do they call them?
The drops.
Yeah,
but those are like drop, those are things. Easier to find though. Like
the drops and the blackmail packets and the sensors,
the relay sensors. Yeah, but those are all marked on the map. Were the trophies ever marked on a map?
If you cleared areas, yes.
Okay. All right. I mean maybe it's because it's not the same collectible. I guess it's because it's not. The one thing I will say that I miss from Asylum is the finding the spray painted question mark. I did. You remember where you had to whip out the camera?
Yeah.
And you had to line it up the right way to see the dot and the little swoopy thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was always kind of like, it just played with perspective. That was always kind of neat to do.
I've been finding the anarchy symbols spread throughout the area on buildings. Those have been interesting to find.
I haven't finished Anarchy yet. Okay, so let's one more thing to discuss about it, and then we can kind of wrap it up. Who have you fought so far?
I have fought Killer Croc, who you fight in the tutorial, so he's not like a real boss fight. Deathstroke. Shit.
Electrocutionist.
Electrocutioner, which
is great.
Was awesome. The Mad Hatter.
Okay, Mad Hatter. Did that? I don't want to keep dragging this down, but did Mad Hatter feel like this game's Scarecrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
No, except it was this game's Scarecrow. Except I will 100% say they did Scarecrow's shit way better, because that level was a fucking nightmare to traverse. I hated that level. That's the worst design thing so far in the entire game.
I just ran through all the electrocution stuff.
Well, I was having an issue with the perspective and the controls, and it was driving me crazy. I don't remember having that many issues with any of the Scarecrow stuff.
Okay.
I've met Shiva, but I haven't actually fought her yet.
Okay.
Anarchy. And I think that's it.
Okay. I have done Killer Croc and Electrocutioner and Deathstroke. I've met Shiva. I think I just have to go find her. And I've done the Anarchy stuff. I just have to go find him. And that's one of the interesting things about the game, is that you feel like one of the things for me is that I keep trying to like, okay, I just want to finish this game. I just want to finish it. And I sit down and like I do two story missions. Yeah. And then I'm like, ooh, relay stations. Okay. Ooh, this thing. Ooh, that thing. But it's not like, I don't feel like overwhelmed. It's just kind of like, it's kind of like when I was playing Assassin's Creed 3 and I just made the conscious choice to go start killing drummers. And it kind of drew me into the game a little bit. I feel like that's what that kind of stuff is in this game, where it's like, I'm going to go do a couple story missions. And it's like, whoa, I wonder what's going on over here. Or you come across one of those crime scene investigation things and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's one of those. I haven't really felt really pressured to do the story stuff in the game. So I'm just enjoying the game for what it is. It's one of those things. It's like PS4 comes out in a couple of weeks. I kind of want to be done with this in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but this is distracting from me finishing Last of Us now. So that's kind of eating at the back of my mind. It's like, I kind of want to get back to Last of Us, but I'm kind of really in. It's one of the few things that I'm like, the moment I get free time, I'm like, I want to sit down and play Batman instead of I want to sit down and watch this TV show or stuff like that. It's like, it's one of those. It's like constantly at the back of my mind that I'm like, I constantly want playing the game, and I just haven't had that in a while, which is kind of nice. To just kind of have a game that's kind of, you want to play it. You don't feel like it's a chore. You enjoy screwing around in the game.
Yeah, no, I get that totally. I picked it up because I was like, oh, it's, you know, could be a fitting swan song to the generation. I'm not saying, when I say that, I don't mean it's like GTA 5 or like Last of Us or Bioshock Infinite or anything like that. I'm just saying like it's the last game on the current gen stuff that I will probably buy. And I did kind of sit down on Friday night with it, with that mentality, and, you know, the mentality, and Sunday and Monday night, I was like, man, I just want to get through this as fast as possible so I can talk about it in full on the show. But at the same time, I was having a lot of fun just doing stuff in it. Like Tomb Raider, I beat in like 3 days or something like that. And I was able to like talk about it in its entirety. But this game is just, there's, like I said, the way they distract you with stuff isn't overwhelming at all. It's just like, ooh, I'll go check that out. It's just, I keep saying it. If it makes you, it feels really good to play as, to be Batman for a night. So I'll let you wrap up with anything you've got to say. And then I want to touch on the Vita game for as little bit as I've played it.
I've said what I had to say.
Joe, do you have any questions you want to ask about it?
No, but I think coming off the end of discussing this Batman game might be a good opportunity to segue a little early into a question, if you agree, since you know what the question is.
Shoot. He forgot.
Yep, I did.
Okay. Forgive me if I'm doing this out of order and I throw you off of your schedule, but... I guess a user feedback question then. We have this wonderful trilogy of Batman games that Rocksteady came and they finally did a Batman game that doesn't absolutely suck like some of the side scrollers did on the NES and Super Nintendo. And oh, the Batman animated series games were, they didn't make you feel like Batman like these modern games did. They still haven't done a good Superman. And so my question to the listeners is, congratulations, you are now the producer and director of the next Superman game. What is the play mechanic? What style of game do you build your game around to make a Superman a good game to play? How do you balance his power? How do you make him, what do you give him to do?
Remember, if you don't think of it, Rocksteady will, so it's all good.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that come up on next gen.
Speaking of, I think Origins is one of those games that I highly suspect will get a next gen release. as well.
Like that Wii U title that came out where it was like Batman with electric fists now.
Batman Arkham City Armored Edition.
Yeah. I think it'll look markedly better because the PC version looks a lot better. Apparently they are able to do amazing things with his cape, his cape has always been a sticking point to me in a game. And that's the other thing that I felt like the Arkham games got right was his cape. Just the way it looks when you're moving through the environment.
And it's got weight to it.
Yes. And it's beautiful. They actually have an entire physics model for it on the PC, which next gen consoles may be able to pull off on their own. So, I do own the Vita version. I bought it right before I fell asleep on Friday night because I had nothing else to do with $40. I've played about an hour and a half, 2 hours of it. It reminds me, because the art style, the cutscenes in the game are not handled the way they are in the console version.
They're animated, aren't they?
They're animated in the same way that Infamous's cutscenes are animated.
Ah, sweet.
And the character designs it's the same character designs from the Arkham games. I thought both games were supposed to be set at about the same time, but Blackgate seems to be set after the events of Origins.
Yeah, it's between Origins and Arkham Asylum.
Okay. I've only played the intro level, which I know that we said that it opens up after that, and it does. It looks like it opens up and you get to, there are three different areas with three distinct bosses that you have to go into. I believe the three bosses are the Joker, the Black Mask, and the Penguin. Each one of them controls a section of the prison, and you have to gain control of, gaining control of a section of the prison grants you certain accesses to other places. Like one person has control over the power grid. One person has control over like the camera systems or something like that. So as you defeat bosses, kind of like a Mega Man game, you gain like extra abilities to use while you're navigating around the Blackgate prison. Combat is identical to what it is on the console version, except for it's on a 2.5D plane. You can move into the screen and towards the screen and guys attack you. It looks really good. Even I want to say it almost looks like it could be streaming from, it could be like a remote play game on a PS4. Like it looks really good.
Nice.
It seems to play really good. It's just in that opening level, a lot of the traversal is done using your grapple hook, and that's just R1. So a lot of that, if you're not punching something, usually you're running to the right and hitting R1. And one of the things I felt was missing right off the bat, and I get this way when I play a lot of like 2D or 2.5D platformers, is the lack of a jump button feels really weird. He doesn't so much jump as it's like a contextual thing, the same way it kind of is on the consoles, where if he gets really close to like, or you run into a wall and you hit X, like he'll jump to grab the ledge and climb up if he can. Otherwise, if it's like just out of reach by like a foot, instead of jumping, you have to fire your grapple hook. So it just feels kind of weird, but it's fun. There are days like the past couple days where I'm like, man, I should sit down and play that again for the show. But in all honesty, I spent most of the day on Saturday and most of the day yesterday catching up on a huge backlog of TV shows that I have. And Sunday and Monday night, I spent playing Arkham Origins. So I'm hoping to be able to play more of Blackgate and talk about more of that in depth. But for right now, like if Black Friday, if it's like available for $20, I think it's totally worth it, especially if you enjoy Origins or you like a Metroidvania, or if you ever wanted like an Arkham game in the Metroidvania sense. Like it feels really good. I have not seen touch controls yet, which is fine.
Yeah.
I think there may be a touch control, but it's on the front and it's not on the back. So you can actually hold the system instead of having to like, suspend the system in your fingertips. So, but no, it's, I, I mean, even though I've only played an hour and a half with it, I don't feel like I've wasted $40 yet. So that's fine. All right. We'll take another quick break here. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have reader feedback or listener feedback, reader feedback, because we write stuff.
Yay.
We'll have some listener feedback.
Subscribe our podcast.
That would be
terrible.
Yeah. That's my wife's job. She manages people who we could transcribe these.
We could give them the episodes and they could transcribe them for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it's like 8 cents a line.
Yeah, no.
No.
So I well, yeah, we'll be back on the other side of this. Another ad for another show. We'll have some listener feedback. So stick around. Off the Cuff. We'll be right back.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join your host, TFG1 Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classic episodes and origins of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pullbag on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag. Today.
Welcome back to Off the Cuff. We are going to do, I'm sorry, I was too busy. We're just coming back from having a long chat with Sean Z about his life. So I'm a little distracted now. We're gonna
such a whining bitch. God.
Yeah, we finally had to let him go. So he won't be with us for the rest of the night.
Or hopefully ever again.
Ooh, dang. All right, so the question we asked in episode 33 was, with all the recent next-gen game delays, Off the Cuff wants to know what past games do you wish had been delayed a little so they could be further polished or refined. We're going to start this off here with The Walking Dread. He says, Dead Island was a game I enjoyed but never felt it lived up to the hype. The gameplay was okay, nothing special. After seeing that trailer, I thought it was going to be the best zombie game ever, and it ended up being a solid game, but nothing special. You got duped along with everybody else.
Yep. It was fun. It just was super glitchy. It could have, yeah. I agree with pretty much everything you said.
Just go back to playing Left 4 Dead, because that's a better zombie game.
It is. I mean, yeah, it is. That's all I have.
I'd say we should dig that out of the pile of old games, but it's on Xbox. We'd all have to buy memberships again. No, thank you.
Not worth it.
Well, Danner and I could play on Steam.
Yay!
Like my computer?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't run Steam, let alone the games that I would download from Steam.
That's a
the
bummer.
Only thing that comes out of your computer is Steam.
Yes!
that's a bummer because Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 are $7.50 right now. Eat for both. Let's see. Connor Murphy. Too bad Sean Z went home for this. Maybe we can dig him up so we can respond to this. Saints Row 4 could have used more time to become a fuller game instead of just an add-on.
You mean it could have been in development to actually be a game?
Yeah.
You know, like over a year.
Ryan Hannity follows that up with, I love Saints Row 4. Did not have any issues with the gameplay. I find myself enjoying it more than GTA 5 sometimes because it's just mindless fun. Clearly, Mr. Hannity, you don't play GTA 5 with Joe and I. actually, Ryan, if you are listening to this, what system are you playing GTA 5 on? Maybe you can join the Off the Cuff crew, which we do have, by the way.
We do have a crew.
Yep, we do have an off-the-cuff crew. So anyone interested in joining that, leave a message and let us know in the comments for this episode, and I will figure out how to invite you to that. Brad Kellogg.
We're going to need to start stealing minivans if all these crews show up to climb our mountains.
Hey, there are more than just those news-type helicopters, Joe. There are full-on, army, double-bladed helicopters.
I've stolen them in the main game, but I haven't. When you and I went to that military base, we just got slaughtered, so I haven't been back yet.
All right. Brad Kellogg says, any licensed game I think would benefit from being delayed, minus a few like Spider-Man 2 and Lord of the Rings. They are all crap. Maybe if they came out 6 months or a year later, they could actually be good. Instead, they are rushed into production. And then that is followed up by Connor Murphy, who added, I also thought the game Wolverine was pretty good, but I think that game got delayed. Didn't we bring up the Wolverine game? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't the movie delayed and then the game came out? Or
no.
The game was delayed?
It was...
Because it was X2.
We're talking about Wolverine Origins, or are we talking about Wolverine's Revenge X2?
I think they're talking about Origins.
Okay, because Wolverine Origins was done when, like, and ready to go when Wolverine Origins was originally supposed to come out. And they pushed the movie back a year, and the game was done, and they took that entire year to play test and just polish that thing ridiculously.
Okay, yeah, so he is talking about that game.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that Spider-Man 2 was good because of the web swinging they added into it.
I just heard somebody reference that somewhere, how awesome the web swinging was and why. When the new Spider-Man game comes out, nope, doesn't play like that one. Spider-Man 2.
No, Spider-Man 2 was great.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Spider-Man 3 was, oh my god, that game was as bad as the movie was.
Have you guys played any of the Lord of the Rings games?
Not to completion, but I played them enough to say that, yes, they're pretty good.
They're pretty good, but man, they got boring and repetitive. I mean, it's just felt like
I think that's the style of game.
I know, it was not a style for me. It just... It seemed too on the rails and just, I don't know. It felt, you know, like a Dynasty Warriors game, and I hold those games up about the same amount of respect as I hold, you know, most sports games. I just,
Honestly, I think that's exactly the same reason that I didn't care for the Batman Arkham Asylum game like everybody. It got repetitive, felt on rails, and was just the same combat between interesting cutscenes, and I got kind of... I want to like it, but you know, just right. Like, yeah, I feel
just
bad.
Like, you want to like Sean, games. But you just can't do it.
All right. Jedi Disaster says this might anger some people if I thought Star Wars, but I thought Star Wars Force Unleashed could have been such a better game than it was. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. I'd say above average at best in some areas. The gameplay was just too basic. Jedi Outcast and Academy had better gameplay, and it came out years earlier. The one thing
agreed.
I do agree with this, because the one thing that kind of irked me about the Star Wars Force Unleashed is that it never felt intuitive or fluid as it could have been. I felt like the Force Unleashed games really could have benefited from the Mark of Kree gameplay.
Yeah.
That just would have been awesome. Which anyone that doesn't know, Mark of Kree assigned the different enemies around you to a face button on the controller, and you hit that face button to attack that enemy. And you could do it in any order as long as the guy's really close enough to you. Kind of imagine like the Arkham mechanic, but instead of you controlled who you bounce to other than just kind of steering your character around. Freddy Savage. Says, I'm a big Resident Evil fan, but Resident Evil 6 was a giant mess. For me, the black eye in the series, if they take more time in the story, it could have been a much better game. I thought the black eye in the series was 5. Ooh. That was bad.
I think it was a double black eye between 5 and 6.
It came out looking like a raccoon.
Yep.
Raccoon City.
Sing!
Okay. Superfilm Fan 98 says the game took forever, but Aliens Colonial Marines needed more time. How that game took so long to make and was so crappy, I don't know. Maybe if they had held off and got some better developers, it would have yielded a better game. Jedi Disaster follows it up with worst game of this generation, in my opinion, and Dragono finishes it with, yeah, you might be right there. At least you consider the hype behind it. At least when you consider the hype behind it.
English fail.
Yeah. we stayed away from this one. Sorry, guys. We never played it. Although it is $5 on Steam.
There is a reason for that.
I don't even know if I could spend $5 to have an opinion on that game.
I think it was like $7.50 on PlayStation Plus like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I should buy it just to... No, I really shouldn't.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah. I was like, I want to play it just to see how bad... No, I really don't. I have better things to do with my time.
Alien Colonial Marines is just... It is. I think it is... Is there a bigger blunder this generation than that? I mean...
I don't think so, because it looked real good when they first started talking about it and the first screenshots came out. And the ideas they had behind it sounded great. And then I don't know what the hell happened.
Gee, that kind of sounds like Fable.
It does. It really does. It kind of sounds like Sean's life, too.
All right. Dan Clark, also known as Movie Revolt, anyone that listens to MWare Weekly. As someone who plays Madden, I wish they would either stop coming out with games each year or take at least two so they can actually improve the game. Obviously, that won't happen, so maybe they could stop charging $60 and just have the new game as $30 DLC. Again, won't happen, but a man can dream. I think that's what every sports fan wants.
Yep, I think that's what it would take to make the game better. I think you should... Well, you
know what else makes it better?
Release a DLC to update the player roster, the injuries, la 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 la, to get it to the next year. You take 2 years to make the game and actually make it new.
Well, you know what else makes a game good, Joe?
Hmm?
Competition.
EA is the
only one with the Madden license or the NFL license, so they can make whatever game they want.
Would that keep? Could somebody make a football game around an imaginary league where you can totally customize everything?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know why somebody hasn't done that. Taken 2 years, do it right.
They did.
It's recognition is what it is. It's a lot of the fans won't gravitate towards something that doesn't have the NFL license.
They made that, what was it, the league?
Yes.
Yeah. Blitz the league?
Yeah, that's but that wasn't... But that wasn't like a football sim. That was arcade football.
It was arcade football with teams that didn't exist, and they got some retired players to be a part of the game. But
right, but it's not. Well, it's not a sports sim. So I think that's.
Well, here's what you do. You build a football game, a generic football game with really awesome editing tools. You release a beta to the public. Let the community. Make a giant patch where it
Mutant League Football everything. 2.
Yeah.
I was going to say Tecmo Super Bowl.
But you reskin everything and then just have a really open, unpoliced, deliberately unpoliced DLC or user shared information thing and let the game go live, sell it for $60.
Sounds like you want a football game on the PC, Joe.
Yeah, I wouldn't run on my computer.
Okay, is it Super Tecmo Bowl or Tecmo Bowl?
Super Tecmo Bowl.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it's the same game or if it was two games or...
I think I own that and I really want to play it someday.
Ryan Hannity follows Dan up with, I agree, but NBA 2K and NHL 2K series are the ones that do get better each year. Makes me wish for the old 2K NFL games again. And Dan Clark responds with, oh yes, I do like the 2K games. Dreamcast was one of my favorite systems, and the 2K games are a big reason why. So.
Yay, sports game.
Yay, Dreamcast.
Yay.
All right, last two here. And I'm going to read them both together because one is a response to the other. King of Kongs. Chimes in with Assassin's Creed 3. Everything about that game was rushed and not well thought out. I am really against this new method of having a new installment of franchises coming out each year. It has led to a lot of garbage. And Dragono finishes it with, I'll second that. I love the franchise. Assassin's Creed 3 was a misfire nearly all around. It's not a horrible game, but not nearly the game it could have been. Joe?
I wouldn't say it was a misfire all the way around because the opening sequence was awesome. Everything after
his dad.
Yeah, everything after his dad was a complete letdown. Everything up to that was awesome.
The first
30 minutes of that game was fucking perfect.
Except still learning not to hold the R button while running. That was... Yeah.
They did add... I did hear with Assassin's Creed 4 that they added analog controls to the running.
What?
You can now jog. You, like, pull halfway on the right trigger.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's something interesting, I guess. We're going to have to wait and see on November 15th. So, yeah, that's it for the reader comments. Again, please respond in the next episode with our questions and stuff like that. Or any questions you have for us, feel free to ask. Danner, do you want to let them know about the Video Game Awards? Because I think we're doing that next week, aren't we?
Yeah. That is next week. Video Game Awards next week.
What? What are you talking about?
Less chance to vote and get your votes in. So if you really hate Aliens, Colonial Marines, and you really want to make sure it wins worst game of the generation, you got to vote. The list is going to be posted with the episode. Feel free to go ahead and fill it out. Get your responses in. Pick three for each categories, except for, of course, the council category, because why would it make any sense to pick three in that category? You get it. Anyways, fill it out and send it to the Geekcast Radio email.
Feedback at geekcastradio.com.
And we'll tabulate your results in with the all of our results and all of the community's results that have come forward so far. And we will be announcing the winners next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Also, on November 15th is obviously the launch of the PlayStation 4. I am currently in the planning phases of working out some live streaming stuff for that day, for like unboxing, things like that, and for people to ask questions about the system, and we can try and dig into what they can and can't do, and you guys can kind of see what it's like to get a system out of the box and try to use it on launch day. Currently planning that out. I know Danner might be planning something himself.
Mine probably won't be. There's not much planning. I'm going to be working that day until I get a call from my wife that goes, "Your box is here." And then I'm going to be like, "Sorry, guys. I got a case of the black lung. I got to go."
Isn't your box always at home?
Yeah, good point.
All right. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parent site at geekcastradio.com or send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter and the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. Danner?
You can find me on PlayStation Network at X51 The Machine Man or on Twitter at Art Danner.
Hey, Shaunzy, you can take the ball gag out of your mouth. Do you want to tell them where they can find you?
You can find me on Xbox Live at Weapon
87?
87. Or you can find me on Twitter at Shaunzy Brown. I love Saints Row 4.
Joe?
And you can find me on Twitter at Joe Reed Geek. And on the PlayStation Network at Wildfire405W, spelled with two capital V's.
Until next week, congratulations. The story is happy end. Thank you.